Welcome back to Coal America. I'm Chris Coleman, your host, back here today. It's going to be a good day. It's Tuesday. I was hoping to do this last night, and I didn't. honestly, I was exhausted from the week before spring break. Spring break is weird to me compared to everybody else because the majority of my staff goes out of town. And it wasn't as bad as December. I still had some here to work. But the majority of them are out of town. But my hours get longer. We work more. Because the NCAA tournament, we're now open, you know, 10 a.m. And we're here till, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. You know, they close, they cleaning. So it makes for some long hours. And I was really tired. And unfortunately, I went on home. My friend Aaron Harris came by, a couple others, they're texting me. I was like, yeah, sorry. Dude, I thought you were always there. Yeah, no. sorry. But anyway, let's jump right into it. Let's jump into the tournament. We're starting out with NCAA basketball men's tournament. Alabama, of course, beats Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and then Maryland. And frankly, with the upsets that have happened, and looking at it on paper, it's Alabama's tournament to lose. I mean, we all know that this coming Friday evening around 5:30, you get San Diego State. San Diego State, those of you that haven't watched them, very good defensive team. All right, very good defensive team. They're going to want to slow the game down. They're going to want it to be a half-court game. And that's not us. Whoever can implement their will definitely have the upper hand. Alabama's going to get through this game. We're going to win this game. But we're going to force the tempo. We're going to make them try and front and gun with us. And, well, we have Brandon Miller and they don't. In the other South Regional, you got Creighton and Princeton. If you had that in your bracket, then why are you listening to me? honestly, right here, at Creighton NC State, I told you last week, I feel like the winner of Creighton or NC State, whoever won that game, would beat Baylor. I went with Creighton, but I said either way, the winner of this is going to beat Baylor. And Creighton wins, Creighton's on. They did beat Baylor. I told you they would. You're welcome for that one. But the other two, Missouri, they take care of Utah State like I thought they would. But then Arizona going down to Princeton. This is who Jay Billis had in the Final Four. It wasn't just me. Everybody missed this, right? And Creighton, Princeton. I got to tell you, I'm rooting for Creighton in this game. I'm rooting for Creighton in this game, and I'm going to tell you why. Is I remember McDermott when they beat us in the first round. Was that Anthony Grant's first, second year? I don't know, whatever. But y'all remember that? Creighton beating Alabama? Yeah, let's get them back. Let's get them back. All right? And so that's why I want to see them in that game. Now, I will tell you, let me back up. Alabama is a 7.5-point favorite. Unders have dominated this tournament. The first 36 games, the under hit 27. The under was 27-9 in the first 36 games. Unders have dominated this tournament. And so look for them to skew the lines down. They're going to look lower. The over-under is 137. 137. Because, I mean, Alabama can put up 80. You know, it can't. It's like, really? 137? And, what's the team total? The team total for Alabama? 72.5. So, I did not mean to hit that. Anyway, it's Alabama. I like our team total over in every game because I believe that we can just go spurts, score like nobody's business. In that Creighton-Princeton game, Creighton's a 10-point favorite. I kind of like Princeton to cover this, but I like Creighton to win. All right? Now, moving right along, you saw FDU take down Purdue. We told you they were false. Claymore, you've been on board with me. But then you didn't put it in your bracket. Andrew, Clayton Moore. I was disappointed in that. But Clayday and I have been on this all year, talking about Purdue being a fraud. Purdue's not great. Yada, yada, yada. I had Memphis beating FAU. I thought FAU, while the record it was incredible at what, 32-3 or whatever, I thought that was, you know, a great record. But I really thought Memphis would take them down. Memphis was hot going into the tournament, coming out of their conference tournament. And Memphis should have won that game. Memphis gave it away at the end of the game. And they got to be kicking themselves. And when FDU took down Purdue, I was so happy because I had Memphis beating Purdue in the next round. I was like, yes, yes, it's lining up, baby. It's lining up. And then Memphis goes down. So no points in that game. FAU, one of their losses for FAU, by the way, with that great record, UAB. One of their losses. So the FAU has moved on. And then in the other, you had Duke. They beat Oral Roberts like they were supposed to. And then Tennessee beats Louisiana like they were supposed to. And I said before the game, I posted on Facebook. If you don't believe me, you can go there and go through my 8 million posts. But I said, if the referees call that game tight, Duke's going to run away with it. But if they let them play and let it get physical, that favors Tennessee. And the refs let them go. If the referees that did the Alabama-Maryland game had it called Duke-Tennessee, Tennessee would be at home and Duke would still be in this. Seriously. Right. But they let them play. Tennessee is a dirty, physical, dirty, trash, dirty, physical team. And that's how they play. It's Tennessee. What did you expect? Tennessee, FAU. I mean, Tennessee's a 5.5-point favorite. I think Tennessee beats them. And even though they're 33-3, you know, Florida Atlantic, and I like Tennessee to cover. I think that the refs are going to let them get away with more than they should. And I think Tennessee covers that game. We saw K-State. They beat Montana State. Yeah, a few people like Montana State in that game. I wasn't one of them. Kentucky-Providence. I had Providence. Kentucky, you had lost to Vanderbilt twice in the last week and a half going into the tournament. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't ride with you. I know the name Kentucky's on the jerseys. By the way, when Kentucky lost by losing, not to Providence, they beat them, but 2K State, North Carolina, popped the champagne, you still won more tournament games than Kentucky by one. They kept their lead, even though they didn't go to the tournament. And I'm going to take a tangent here. I didn't like the move of UNC opting out of the NIT. We're too good for the NIT. No, if you were too good for the NIT, you would have been in the NCAAs. You weren't too good for it. You didn't get hosed over. You didn't get a bad break. You didn't win. That's what you didn't do. Down in the bottom part of this bracket, in the East, which we all knew the East was going to be shambles and that would be the craziness. You saw Michigan State beat USC. I thought USC might win that game. Look for USC's coach to be leaving soon. He's going to get on for another job. He's done a really good job there. I thought USC would win that game. Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo in the tournament. Blah, blah, blah. Tom Izzo. Whatever. I'm tired of Tom Izzo. I didn't like Mateen Cleaves either. How about that? You might remember that? Michigan State, Mateen Cleaves, national title. Mateen Cleaves was the Big Ten Player of the Year. His sophomore and his junior year. His senior year, he was not. But they won the national title that year. Ask him which year was his favorite. Marquette against Vermont. Yeah, we all have Marquette. Marquette looked great. They were final. I had them in my Final Four. And then Michigan State flat out cheated them. The refs blew that game. Marquette goes in for a layup. The ball came off the glass. Then the guy blocks it. No goaltending call. Because Tom Izzo, Oh, he gets all the calls. He's like the new Krzyzewski without the resume. Yeah, you heard me. Anyway, he gets all the calls. Anyway, that would put Marquette up by one. When they didn't call it, it leads to a break. And they end up hitting a three. And it's a five-point swing. And now Marquette, even though they have the ball back, they're in a situation of, we've got to score, we got to foul. Yeah, and that's what changed the game. And it did to the end of it. Michigan State makes their free throws, and they push it out. But that missed call at that time was huge. Huge. Anyway, so Michigan State will now play K-State. And they're actually going to be the first game Thursday, 5:30 Thursday, Michigan State. Michigan State's a two-point favorite. I think Tom Izzo and Michigan State get it done against K-State. Haven't been a big believer in K-State. I could argue that the Big 12 is a better conference than the Big 10. So I really don't like this game. I'm not big on it. I'm two stars on Michigan State. All right. Let's go to the other side. Houston. In your first game, you didn't look good. And you had Sasser starting and playing, and he looked hurt, and they didn't look good. I was nervous because I have them going so deep. But they turned it up. They win. Okay. Auburn. Well, you beat Iowa. And the fact that Auburn had a home game is crap. The fact that they got to go to Birmingham is crap. Yeah, they were in the same building as Alabama. Alabama earned the number one overall seed. We earned the right to play closest to our home. All right, that's how it works. Auburn was a 9 seed, and Houston had to go in there and play them. No, that's garbage. That's complete garbage. I didn't like that at all. I think the NCAA messed that up. Unless they thought Iowa was like a lock to beat Auburn, and Iowa's never a lock to beat anybody, then come on. So, but Houston and Miami, Houston gets through there. On the other one, you had Miami, they took care of business. Indiana took care of Kent State, and then Miami took care of Indiana. So Houston against Miami is what we're looking at. I know my friend Adrian Leach took the U to win it all. That's a little bit of silliness. Houston is a very, very good basketball team. This will be in Kansas City is where they're going. By the way, if y'all didn't know, if y'all weren't sure, Alabama will go to Louisville, Kentucky, is where we'll be playing and where Princeton and Creighton will be playing. All right? Now, the FAU Tennessee, that's up in Madison Square Garden in New York, all right, where K-State, Michigan State will be as well. The Houston-Miami is in Kansas City, all right? And I like Houston there. I like Houston to handle that. In the other one, in the Midwest, you had Pitt take care of theirs. Pitt, by the way, took out Mississippi State in the play-in. And then they took out, who was it they beat? Iowa State. Xavier beats Kennesaw State. Pitt, that was trying to make that run from, you know, the play-in game. Yeah, you ran into Xavier. You had to love Xavier in that game. The X-Men, baby. Janka, X-Men fan. I think his granddad played there. Great-granddad, something like that. But yeah, he's an X-Men. Penn State took out A&M. Now, I knew at least one SEC team was going to lose, despite the SEC being really good this year. And so I thought it was going to be Kentucky. I had A&M winning this game because against Penn State, they were hot going into it, except for the championship game against Alabama. But you can't judge a team off that. And off that one game against Bama in the SEC tournament championship. But A&M did not play well. Penn State locks them down. They kill them. Texas did their part, winning their game against, who was it, Colgate? Yeah, Texas beat Colgate. See, I wanted that Texas-Texas A&M matchup. But instead, we got Penn State, Texas. Texas took care of business. So coming up now, you got the X-Men against Texas. And that's not a bad game right there, buddy. So, man, you're talking about 27-9, 28-8. You know, a number 5 seed, a number 13 seed. They've got Texas as a 4-point favorite. Here's your upset special. I'm rolling with the X-Men. I'm rolling with the X-Men. Look out. I think that they're going to, and this is up in, this is another one in Kansas City. And so I think that they'll end up meeting up with Houston there in that Elite Eight matchup. Down to the West. Oh, buddy. Kansas, you won the first round. Arkansas, you beat Illinois. Good job. And then Arkansas taking down Kansas. Arkansas against Kansas. Arkansas. Arkansas starters, their full roster has only been together about 2 weeks out of the whole season. Remember how they were kind of hyped up early in the year? They kind of had that midseason struggles. I mean, they're 22-13, but they didn't have everybody. They were hurt. They have everybody. They're fully healthy for the first time in a long time. And this Arkansas team can play. I like Musselman as a coach. As a person, eh. You go way back. Pull up the podcast from a few years ago. And you'll hear me talk about Musselman as one of the guys I wanted at Alabama. All right, now I'm happy with Nate Oates. And I'm glad we got what we got. But Musselman was up there at the top of that list. He wasn't the very top, but he was near the top of that list. And look out. Now, St. Mary's did what I thought they would, and they won. No 12 beat a 5. No 12 beat a 5. Remember we talking about how the 12-5 wasn't what it used to be because of the way they do the brackets now with those play-ins and the extra teams? Gotcha. No 12 beat a 5. St. Mary's wins. UConn, UConn beat Iona. UConn beat Iona. And Rick Pitino is leaving Iona to go to St. John's. Now, here's why I give UConn credit. Because UConn then beat St. Mary's. Iona is a helter-skelter team, right? They are a team that they like to make everything frantic. They scramble on defense. They force it on offense. They want to, you know, make the game a little bit chaotic. And then they turn around their next game 2 days later and you play St. Mary's. That's one of the better half-court teams in the country. They slow it down. They play half-court basketball. That's what they do. UConn didn't care what style they wanted to play. UConn just played UConn basketball. That's what UConn played. And UConn whipped both of them. Down there at the bottom of the bracket, TCU was able to beat the Arizona State play-in winner. And then Gonzaga beats Grand Canyon. Northwestern takes out Boise State. I actually like Boise in that game. I missed that one. And then UCLA takes out UNC Asheville. UCLA Gonzaga. I don't know anybody in the world that doesn't have UCLA Gonzaga in that matchup. Going back to Arkansas and UConn real quick. Arkansas, I didn't give you a pick on that game. So I'm sorry. UConn is a 3.5-point favorite. A lot of the experts think UConn can win the national title. I'm going to roll with them. I think UConn wins this game. 3.5, maybe not. Look at Arkansas. I would not be surprised if Arkansas won this game. But I'm going to go with UConn. Arkansas, I'm sorry, but UConn, you just ran into UConn right now. Yeah, they're hot. They're a legit contender. And so, I'm going to go with UConn minus 3.5. But we'll say 3 stars. 3 stars on that. All right? Now, back over. Gonzaga, UCLA. This game is in Las Vegas, and there's no better place for this game to be. Arkansas and UConn also in Las Vegas. UCLA Gonzaga is so everybody's bracket is on this one. All right. So many people have UCLA. So many people have Gonzaga as their Final Four teams coming out of this. This is the biggest game of the Sweet 16 as far as, wow. Now, if there's an upset, you know, something crazy, obviously that could mess other people up. But this one is a country divided. Everybody filled out a bracket, had to have Gonzaga and UCLA here. And if you won Gonzaga in this game, you probably have them in the Final Four. If you won UCLA in this game, you probably have them in the Final Four. And guess what? I rolled with the Zags in my bracket. UCLA has a couple of guys that they lost before the tournament. One of them with a torn ACL, definitely out. The other one might be back for some time. You don't know. But UCLA is a two-point favorite. And I don't blame Vegas for having them as a two-point favorite with the way Gonzaga has played in their last game against TCU. I'm mad at Gonzaga. You make two free throws, sir. You make two free throws, and you have a six-point lead with 0.7 seconds left. And then y'all just let them roll the ball past half court because you're all just shaking hands and celebrating and not caring and let him pick it up and throw up a shot from in between half court and the three-point line and make it and back door cover you? Most of you already know because I've seen you or I text you. But I had an 8-team parlay. And the last leg of it was Gonzaga covering 4.5. $25 to win $1,217. Oh, Zags, you made me mad there. But you know what? I mean, we're going to bounce back. Everybody's going to jump off the Zags. There you go, man. They didn't cover that. That looked great. UCLA. Now I'm going to jump on UCLA. I think Zags going to get it done. And then Zags going to take down UConn. My Final Four that I had before the tournament was Alabama, Houston, Gonzaga, and Marquette. Marquette's gone. They're not going to be there. I still think Alabama, Houston, and Gonzaga could get to that Final Four. It's going to be tough for Gonzaga. It's going to be tough for everybody. Alabama has the best road by the numbers, but that also could be a dangerous thing because you got to come to play. These teams are here for a reason. They're in the Sweet 16 for a reason. Nate Oates has got to be preaching that this week. Now, Alabama football had a player get arrested. Nick Saban spoke about it. He's been suspended from the team and blah, 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 and everything. And you know, not with the ball right now while university does its investigation and waits on all the details from spring break. Apparently, he had weed. They got him with intent to sell. And there's a lot of different ways you can get that. As we say, we don't know all the details of it, but got him with a couple of things. But he's a freshman, four-star defensive back. In Nick Saban's comments, he said, there's no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We make decisions to put us in those places. And I know what he's saying because he's talking about the process. And in the process, every decision you make, every day, everything you do, is all about that. Now, a lot of people, starting with Clay Travis, that clown, took that as him taking a shot at Nate Oates for saying Brandon Miller was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then he came back and retracted that the next day and was like, hey, I just got out of this, you know, blah, blah. I made a mistake, I shouldn't have said that. But in the world we live in, once you say something, it's out there forever, and they have that soundbite. And even if you retract it, clowns like Clay Travis, CBS, and them, they're going ESPN. They're going to continue to use it, even if you retracted it later. It doesn't matter. It could have been 5 minutes later, or a day later. It doesn't matter. You can't change your mind once it's recorded. It's done. So, they've taken that as, did Nick Saban take a shot at Nate Oates in his comments? No. Nick Saban doesn't care about Nate Oates. Nick Saban doesn't care about Nate Oates. He doesn't care about the basketball. He doesn't care about gymnastics, soccer, softball, baseball, he'll speak about, yeah, it's great. Yeah, oh yeah, that was really good. Good job. He's not gonna say anything negative about them. He'll support them. Yeah, when they're doing well or whatever. Yeah, yo, wish them the best. Nick Saban, before he went to bed, was not worried about basketball in any way whatsoever because spring practices started. He lost arguably the best quarterback in the country, definitely the best defensive player in the country. We didn't make the playoffs last year. He has two new coordinators, offense and defense. Nick Saban has other things to think about. Nick Saban has a quarterback battle. First time in a while. And this one ain't Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa that are both going to the NFL. when Tua was healthy this past year and on the field, his numbers, he was the top five quarterback in the NFL. Jalen Hurts went to the freaking Super Bowl. That's the last time he really had a quarterback battle. Okay, this ain't them. He's got bigger things to deal with. He ain't worried about Nate. Nick's worried about Nick. Alright? Just to let you know, that's where that's at. Now, let's jump over to T-Town Dart League. Tonight is technically the last night of the regular season. And I have to take the blame for this as commissioner. I messed up. This is normally one of my favorite shows of the year. Alright? And I like breaking down where everybody is, where they're going to be, going into it, yada, yada, yada. Going into the final week and the possible playoff matchups and all the scenarios. This is one of the things I enjoy. And let me just tell you, I can't do it. I'm going to, but it's not going to be great. Because last week was spring break. I should have either pushed everything back a week or given everybody a bye last week and said you can play if you want to. But we have matches tonight. Everybody's playing tonight. All of them are going. But then we have two makeup matches, one of which will be played on Thursday, the other one on Wednesday. All right, and I'm about to tell you about some of those. Right now, the current standings. Third Drop Magic is in first at 91 points. They play Short Shafts and Stinky Tips tonight. Third Drop Magic. They can finish first or second. That's it. Third place cannot catch them. So they're going to be a one or a two. Wheelhouse is sitting there at 88 points. Now they play Elena's Long Shafts out of Hoppers tonight. Then they play New Dark Order on Thursday. Wheelhouse could be the number one or the number two or the number three or the number four. Number five cannot catch them. So, they'll finish in the top four, but how they do with these last two matches will determine their seed going in. The Dartmen Cometh. They face 5.5 men. The Dartmen Cometh have 79 points currently. They can finish second, third, or fourth. They cannot catch Third Dart Magic now, but they could finish two, three, or four. Elena's Long Shafts from Hoppers. They play Wheelhouse tonight. That's a big matchup right there. That's the 2-4 right now. Those are two top four teams. But Elena's Long Shafts could finish up. They're a four-time defending champs. Started out really slow. They turned it around. They could finish as the 2, the 3, the 4, the 5, or the 6 in the standings. So they're playing for seeding for sure. Dart United, that's my team. Hey, we play the Houndstooth here at home tonight. We're currently sitting in the technically 6th, tied for 5th. And we could finish in 4th. We could catch the latest Long Shafts. We're 10 points behind them, though. So that's a tall ask to do. Tall task to do. But we could finish in 4th, we could finish in 5th, we could finish in 6th. Now, we're tied with New Dark Order. New Dark Order plays Watch My Smoke tonight, and then they also play Wheelhouse on Thursday. So they've got two games and we're tied in points. So we really would have to win big, and them not win, big at all in either game. fact, they'd have to lose one of the games for us to be able to be ahead of them. But, and they have the tiebreaker. But New Dark Order, they're sitting there with 67 points. They could finish as high as second. They could finish third. They could finish fourth. They could finish fifth. Or they could finish sixth. But seventh place, Watch My Smoke, is 12 points behind both of us. They could finish seventh. New Dark Order would have to get swept 12-0 tonight and then 12-0 against Wheelhouse in order to fall to seventh. That's highly, highly improbable. Watch My Smoke. If you win 12-0, you can get to sixth. And either us or New Dark Order, if us and New Dark Order both lost 12-0, they can still only get to sixth because we have the tiebreaker with Watch My Smoke. But if New Dark Order were to lose 12-0 tonight and lose 12-0 to Wheelhouse, Watch My Smoke would finish in sixth. Other than that, they're going to be seventh. They're probably going to be seventh. It's seventh for Watch My Smoke. The eighth seed is all up for grabs, all right? Short Shafts and Sticky Tips have 41 points. They play Third Dark Magic tonight. Over the Hill Gang, they come to Unique to play the Dark Side. Over the Hill Gang has 38 points. Dark Side has 27. The Tooth plays us. They have 36. Five and a Half Men going to Darkman Cometh. They have 30. All right? Now, all these teams are playing for one spot. So, as you can see, Short Shafts and Sticky Tips, 3-point lead over the Hill Game. But playing against Third Dark Magic and then playing the Dark Side, that could get real tight. Darts United controlling it against the Tooth. I like that. They have to beat us and beat us bad to get up in it. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Five and a Half Men play the Dartman Cometh tonight. And you go, wow, you're 11 points back. You're playing me and Tyler and Evans and, you know, Claire and Chris. That's a tough task, Shane. But they also play the Dart Side tomorrow in their makeup game from last week. The Dart Side plays Over the Hill Game tonight, but they play Five and a Half Men. So those two teams have two matches, even though they're currently sitting at the bottom of the table, the bottom two teams on the table, they have two matches to try and make up those points. And so that's really interesting to see who will get that eight seed and get in the playoffs and which four will be in the tit. All of them, they can make the eight, that's it, no higher. But none of them are mathematically eliminated. Now let's look at the singles league. We're going to start out in the East. Nick Chichester, he's done. He's on top. He's got 50 points. Drew Rhodes, 44 points. He's done. All right? Hoss and Meat will be the final two in the playoffs. Hoss has 44. Meat has 42. They play each other this week. All right? So this is the last week of the season. They have each other to play. And how many points they pick up will determine the standings. Like I say, Drew's sitting there at 47. So if Meat gets 5, then Meat could jump all the way to second. 5 and 1. If Hoss gets 4, he could jump to second. You know, so we don't know. And 4-3, yeah, that up Hoss. So the seedings are what matter for the East. The four that are in, that's it. Nick, Drew, Hoss, and Meat, but in what order, we don't know. Hoss still theoretically could be the one seed. Meat cannot, because even if he went 7-0, he'd only have 49. So, over to the West. The West. Tui is sitting on top with 44. He's done. Will is sitting in second with 42. He plays JJ. I am sitting there with 39. I'm done. Ryan is sitting there with 38. He's done. Me and Will and Tui are guaranteed in the playoffs. Wayne is sitting there with 32 points. Unfortunately, Wayne has had some very bad back trouble. He's been sick recently. He's been out. I'd like to ask for each of you to please keep our good friend Wayne in your thoughts and prayers. he's not going through a good time health-wise right now. He told me last night that he's probably done for the season with his back being the way it is, and that's just terrible. He was supposed to play Ben Lowe, and they had to take a double forfeit because neither one of them contacted each other, and so they did a double forfeit, nobody got any points. Had Wayne have been able to play that as you can see, that he's at 32, for any points, but makes it closer to Ryan at 38. Now, if Wayne is able to play, he would have to take 6 off of Matt Jones to get the 4th seed in the playoffs, because Ryan is sitting there at 38. And Wayne beat Ryan 5-2 back in week 4, so Wayne has the tiebreaker. So if it were tied, Wayne would get in. And Wayne would have to beat Matt with 6 or 7 in order to get in. Everybody else, mathematically eliminated, cannot catch it. So, Tui, Will, Coleman, definitely in. Ryan, probably in, because I don't think Wayne's going to be able to play this week against Matt. And that's unfortunate for him to go out that way. I'm not saying Ryan's not a great player. Ryan's a very good player. Ryan said his 30-30 for his writing his own story. But definitely deserving of the playoffs, but you wanted to see it, at the dartboard from the line. And so there's who will probably be in. We'll know the matchups. I'm gonna do another podcast before we get to next Tuesday. All right, it'll be earlier. I'm thinking Sunday will be good because I'll know all the matchups, all the playoffs, all the dart league. Sunday night, we'll be done. We'll be going to the Final Four. We'll know who that is. So that'd be good too. Yay, good call. I was going to actually get up and come up here and do this yesterday, and I didn't want to get out of bed. I did not. Oh, I told you, buddy, I was tired. And I still had to come up here and open up. And I had a short day. I only put like 10 hours in. anyway, that's where we're at. So I want to thank y'all for taking the time to listen. I'm not going into any other sports today. That's it. T-Town Darts. Men's NCAA basketball. That's what you get. I mean, multiple seeds, multiple one seeds not going to the Sweet 16. It's what, like the second time ever? The first time was 98, something like that. Crazy. You've seen a lot of craziness happen, a lot of parity. And I want to touch on this. As I told a lot of people, look at these teams, though. Take a look at them. And think, why are we seeing so much parity in basketball now? Same reason as football. I broke it down for you. The extra COVID year. The extra COVID year is big for a lot of these teams. Because you got teams now with seniors, juniors and seniors, super seniors, that these guys aren't good enough to go to the NBA. They're not going pro. But they're good college players. And now they've been together. And now they're playing as a team. As a team, one man can take over a game in basketball, more so than any other team sport. A pitcher in baseball, yes, but because they play both offense and defense, and most of the others don't, one guy can literally take over a game more so than any other team sport. But when you have guys that are playing together and you have that team, that cohesive team, and they know what their boys are going to do and they do it well, they're all on the same page, man, it's a good thing. And that's why you see the FAUs, the FDUs of the world. You saw St. Peter's last year make their run. Crichton and Princeton. Gonzaga. Drew Timmy. Does it not feel like this is his ninth, Sweet 16? I know. He's like 21, 22 years old. He's a senior, But that extra year that was granted, the first team I ever played, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, all 5 starters, seniors. That's how you get to the tournament when you're a mid-major. That's how you make those runs. Those boys that made that run with Steph Curry and Davidson, it wasn't all Steph Curry. They had a lot. That was a senior loaded team. Yeah? All right? So pay attention to that stuff too. And the decisions that we made back in 2020 are still affecting us today. So there's that. Yeah, take that for what it's worth. Nobody else listens to it. Nobody in the national media wants to bring it up. But with the transfer portal and everything else, you can build a team real quick. Anyway, that is my time. As always, I thank you for listening. Swing by Unique. Come by and see me. Y'all know I'm here most all the time. Sorry, Aaron Harris. Most all the time. I am here every day. But how long? You know, most of the time, open and close. Occasionally, I have to go do things. This afternoon, once we open, I'm going to run to Sam's. So, and then I'm going to come back. Because I haven't done that yet. So, but yeah. Then Dart League tonight, so you know I'll be out and about. Having a good time. Swing by, join us, text me. I'm like, hey, are you there? Yeah, I'm here. All right, cool, I'll be there in a minute. Yeah, that makes it easier. Anyway, as always, I'll leave you with this. Shoot to score. Play to win. But most importantly, when you get married, make for damn sure that you are the ugly one. I'm Chris Goldman.